This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here's the Glow Show.
Welcome back to the Glow Show. Gabby, no need to introduce you. You've done this 1,000 times. We know you're leading senior constable. We know you're the head glow, and we all know you're a sensational person.
I'm not the head glow. Aren't you? The full-time glow, that's all.
You're just the full-time glow. So what does that make Jen?
I'm the full-time glow legendary coordinator. I don't know. I just made that up. Just totally made that up.
Well, she's kind of more...
I'm kind of like Gab's sidekick. I'm
the mini version. Like, okay. She's more senior.
I'm a wingman.
Okay. Yeah. So do you get yourself out in the street? You're not a street type person.
Yeah, no, I go out to events. I'm obviously not sworn. I go out to a lot of events and we sort of, you know, we bounce off each other. I do the corporate-y kind of stuff and Gab does the police-y stuff.
Oh. Yeah, I might wear all the accoutrements, but Jen's the muscle.
Oh.
I'm her protection. Let's be real.
Now, Highway Patrol again, and you brought it back, didn't you?
I know. I had to bring it back.
You had to bring it back.
My fee structure is going to have to go up. I have to reconsider this negotiation. I come back for you, Will. You know I love
Beck,
you.
How are you going? We love you too.
Oh, thanks. Let's cuddle.
How's it been out there the past month or so since we spoke last?
Oh, look, things have slowed down a little bit, which is nice.
Mm.
But obviously the same messages are still not getting through, but that's all right. We're getting there. We're getting there slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But
what have you done
weather.
In the last week? What kind of interesting
have
tickets
I done?
Have you?
Oh, in the last week,
yeah. Any drug arrests?
Well, actually, I did bicycle patrol.
Bicycle
what?
Patrol.
I did. Hey, listen, just calm down, all right? Calm down.
Do you know
even
how
a
much?
Motorbike, yes. A bicycle.
A bicycle. Yes, I normally drive a V8.
But I would
yes,
have paid
I've
money to see
got,
you drive
absolutely,
a bicycle.
Absolutely.
Where's the photo?
Okay, just listen. You guys need to calm down, all right? I've got V8 quads that can get me anywhere, anytime, very quickly, especially in very heavy traffic. So, I did bicycle patrol.
I want to know why.
Because that's what we do.
I
want to
know why too.
We've got some amazing bikes. It took me a little while to get them, and they were delightfully donated by Bicycle Victoria about 3 years ago. And my off-sider Monica and I try and get out there as often as we can on bicycles because we have better access to roads. We can filter through traffic a bit quicker.
It makes sense now.
It does make. Well, thanks for being on board. To be honest, it's nice every now and then to wear a bit of lycra.
Well.
Anyway, this beautiful sunny weather, of course, it's nice to be out of the car, getting a bit of exercise.
Were you allowed to take the training wheels off?
There are no training wheels. There were training wheels for a little while.
But do you have a flashy Highway Patrol Lycra?
I don't, no. We could design some.
I think you should because you're different to
we
bike
did
patrol.
Actually, we did actually discuss doing that to sort of differentiate us, but there's a uniform committee that needs to be involved in ticking
boxes. We know
boxes
about them.
A bit of rest.
Maybe some different sunglasses just
maybe
to
some
make
different,
you look different.
How about just the fact that I look like a Highway Patrol officer?
Okay, we'll go with that.
Do you have a siren or do you actually have to yell out?
I have been known to ride to jobs of collisions because we don't have sirens, yelling out oi or move or something similar to that.
Oi is a classic
oi.
Cop term.
I know, I'm not
I
sure why.
It just
sometimes
often.
It comes to oi. It kind of just falls out.
But very commanding oi.
Yeah. So, yes, we get to collisions quite well. Obviously, we can't go out on the Westgate Freeway or the Balti Bridge, which is a very popular bicycle route at the moment for Uber drivers, but we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
Most of the collisions in the city, we can get there pretty much just as quick as a car can. And in some circumstances, we beat the car there and then we gloat about it.
There you go. Yeah. Look, as much as bicycles do annoy me, look, it sounds like a very good initiative and obviously very practical in the city environment, just as long as you keep off the beach road.
It's not my patch, so you don't have to worry about that. However, we do have a lot of vulnerable road users in the city, including bicycle riders, motorcycle riders, pedestrians, so it makes it a little bit easier for us to police sometimes when we're on those things ourselves.
Now, it brings in a lovely little segue for today's topic.
Yeah.
Bicycle riders do create some angst on the road. But that is now becoming a bit of a problem on the road, is road rage.
Mm.
And more than 80% of Victorians have reported that they've experienced road rage in their
Rage is, I think, I'm really fascinated by the psychology of it. I think nobody is immune from road rage. And I think we need to do something about it because it's getting to the point where people are getting assaulted. And and hurt.
Yep.
Or collisions are occurring because somebody forgot to use their signal, changing lanes. So it's not proportionate. The response of people is not proportionate to the action. So we need to delve a little bit deeper into that as to why that occurs. And one of the biggest things is the reason we get angry is because we're selfish and narcissistic and we think that our trip and our car is more important than anybody else's. We don't like being delayed, even if it's by 2 or 3 seconds. And sometimes whatever's going on in your life culminates into when you're inside the car in your little safe space inside of a big steel box and it all comes spewing out. So I think the big thing is anonymity. So people are happy to yell at another person or get angry at another person they don't know. Under the guise, of course, they can't be identified and that person doesn't know them, and it's a split second thing and then everybody goes off in their different directions. I think the biggest thing is, though, you need to remember that you don't know who you're dealing with. And I pull people over every day and I don't know who they are. I'm able to access a little bit of information about them before I get out of the car using the computer and our police database. And so I can make some good risk assessments. But at the end of the day, I don't know who I'm dealing with. And I've got a whole heap of stuff on my equipment belt that helps me deal with people that perhaps I don't know who I'm dealing with. But you don't. So when you're driving home and everybody's always wants to be home 5 minutes earlier, or they're always 5 minutes late for something, and you want to get annoyed at somebody that's cut you off or has done the wrong thing in your mind, you don't know what that person's capable of, and you certainly don't know what sort of day they've had either. And you getting annoyed with them might be just the tipping stone for them to completely lose it.
A quick answer to this, is it getting worse in Victoria?
I think at the moment, to be quite honest, it is, and there's a few reasons for that.
Yep, we've got what's causing it?
There's an increase in travel time because we've got so many roadworks going on. Mm. So we've got the Metro Rail Tunnel, we've got just buildings going up, we've got lane closures for construction. All of these things is making people's travel times increase. And unfortunately, when we have to deal with building new infrastructure, these are the things that are going to occur. But when you finish your long day, you want to be home 20 minutes ago. So your 45-minute commute and then somebody doing something silly in front of you can cause you to get very upset about it. A good example is a friend of mine, Jamie, has really bad, her road rage is terrible. And it's so terrible, she knows it's terrible, that when Hoddle Street was closed down for roadworks in the new year, she decided to take the week off work because she knew she couldn't handle having to drive further out of her way. She knew that she would lose her marbles.
Well, that's
over
a good
it.
Plan then.
Well, that's a great plan, but let's get to why road rage is so terrible. So there's lots of...
I asked the three of you this question. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between road rage and road bullying?
I think it's all the same. Road rage is a colloquial term that we use to describe aggression on the roads in any variety. And I think if you do suffer from chronic road rage, or somebody has said to you, oh, you are the most angry driver I've ever seen, some good solutions could be have somebody else in the car with you. Because that behaviour, you'll always know that the behaviour is not acceptable. So having somebody else in the car with you to keep you in check is a good idea. And be overly friendly. Yeah. If somebody cuts you off, say thanks. Wave. Thank you so much. That was great. Do the opposite.
Yeah.
Do the opposite. It'll turn into something funny and it will make things, everything die down a little bit. And just step back and have a look at exactly what happened. You are not, for whatever reason, people think they're better drivers than everybody else. If you want to have a go, drive home from work tonight or whenever and count how many demerit points you've just racked up yourself. Oh, did I have my indicator on then? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, did I stop at that stop sign? Am I going over the speed limit? And all of a sudden, you're not such a good driver after all. So you're no better than anybody else. People have bad days and people make mistakes. And some people are just mere on incompetent and probably shouldn't have their license. Leave them for me to deal with. But I think the important thing is that you don't know who you're dealing with. You don't want you to get yourself into a situation where somebody gets out of the car with a wheel brace just because they may have cut you off or you had to tap the brakes a little bit. So use your manners on the road in both circumstances, but say thank you. If you cut someone off, say sorry, put your hand up. That will completely extinguish any road rage that somebody's getting from perhaps something that you shouldn't have done.
Now, that'll probably lead into something that I learnt a little while ago, this next question that I'm about to ask, but the psychology of road rage.
Mm.
Are you able to describe that a little?
I think what we were talking about before about anonymity, not being able to be identified, is a large component of the psychology of it, is that if it was the four of us walking down the street and you know who I am and I stopped suddenly to look in a window and you ran up my bum, then we're not going to be screaming at each other.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, we might.
Yeah.
But it would be in jest. So I think the fact that you can't be identified allows you to behave in a way that would normally not be acceptable around people that you know.
I suppose it's similar to trolling online.
Exactly like that.
Most people can't be identified.
Exactly.
Never think they will ever be identified. And it's the same. You wouldn't be going up to a person on the street and saying the things that you're saying online anonymously.
Yeah.
I think also there's a part of it that you're in your own head when you're in the car. You're listening to a song or you're thinking about work or where you're going. And actually, it's funny because I've just been reflecting on this myself with my son in the car. And, you know, I didn't think I was that bad, but, you know, I've caught myself a couple of times, you know, getting like, you know, swearing under my breath or, you know, obviously you have to be mindful of having other people in the car. And like you were saying, you don't know who's listening. And, you know, you can get caught out with the window down like I did the other day.
Yeah.
But, you know, having those commercials, like the one recently where you had the little child in the back seat and they're mimicking what the parent is doing. And we were talking about that earlier,
so
weren't we, Gab?
Because I was mimicking you today.
It's so true. It's so true because we were in a rush to get dumplings for lunch as a, you know, that's, we were hungry and we needed to be somewhere.
We weren't speeding.
We weren't speeding. We were just, you know, very hungry. But it does make you reflect on it, especially when you had a child in the car. You actually, you don't realise that you're doing it. But I think with me, I'm in my own head when I'm driving and I'm thinking about where I need to be, what I need to be doing. And so, you kind of have to have a level of mindfulness about what it is you're actually doing at the time.
And I think a lot of people may use the driving home, the commute to or from work or and really, in my experience, the majority of it happens when people are on their way home.
Yeah.
It's not so much, nobody's in a rush to get to work.
No.
Like, who cares? I'm late, whatever, traffic. But getting home is your time. So if somebody's delaying you from having your own time, that it can be frustrating.
Yeah.
But you might also need to look at a little bit deeper than that and find out why you're using your drive home to be expressive in that sort of manner and why what you're angry about.
Yeah.
And then maybe look at other ways of catharsis.
Yeah,
that may,
healthier options.
Exactly. Yeah. May solve that.
It was a number of years ago. I came across something quite fascinating. It was a psychologist who was dealing with a middle-aged female who had really aggressive road tendencies behind the wheel. And they had filmed her and her behaviour behind the wheel was atrocious. And it was quite interesting. He basically said to her, "What makes you think you own the road?" And it really paused her and said, "Don't you realise you have to share the road with other people?" And it was like it cured her. And it was that was the fundamental thing. And I think a lot of people forget that. They think they own the road.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's all this. Everyone needs to be out of the way. And they develop that. And
your trip is not more or less important than somebody else's trip. Your need to get somewhere quicker is nobody wants to be on the road any longer than they have to be. But it's you're no more important than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I think having that attitude and understanding that everybody's got somewhere to be, and unfortunately these days it was 5 minutes ago. So like that forward planning, using Google Maps to predict the fastest and most direct way so that when you get caught up in a traffic jam due to a collision or whatever, it's not going to be a surprise. Let Google tell you the fastest way because then that takes the decision-making process out of it for you because you're like, oh, I should have turned left down Smith Street.
Yeah.
And we let Google do that. You just sit back and concentrate on what you're doing. Yeah, so anonymity, understanding that you don't own the road. People get react in different ways when they get frightened. So if you nearly hit a cyclist because the cyclist has merged out for whatever reason, thinking someone was about to open their door, people get frightened. And a really, really common reaction when they get frightened is to get angry or cry. So if I go to a collision and people have been frightened because of the sound or whatever, and they're not actually injured, they've just been frightened and they're crying, everything's okay. This is just your reaction to being frightened. So get to your destination safely. Don't take a risk with who might get out of the car wielding a weapon of some variety, and set the right example for your kids and anybody else that's in the car with you because they are going to mimic you.
Absolutely.
And have a look a little bit deeper. If you think that this whole road rage thing is actually a significant problem, have a look at why you're so angry because it ain't got nothing to do with being on the road.
Exactly.
There's probably an underlying thing going on there.
And also, just because you're in a vehicle, don't think that no one can see you.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have people reacting to something.
Of course. and screaming and gesticulating and all sorts of things, and that's when the other person gets out of the car because they've seen exactly what you've done, and you may not even think that they can, and all of a sudden it's too late.
Yeah. Mm. And also, you're not anonymous.
No.
There's registration plates.
Well, that sort of brings to mind, you'd think this would lower with dash cams that are now becoming very popular.
Yeah, they're really, you know, very popular.
People start to think twice about either exiting their car and performing some road rage violence or whatever. You know, it does take away that element,
but also,
anonymity.
It does. But also, it can keep you in check. If you know that you've got dash cam, you know that you're filming your own behaviour as well. So that bullying that we spoke about before, like tailgating and or changing lanes aggressively to go up and make a point about something, you're being filmed yourself. So it's a double-edged sword. If you're there to catch other people, you've got to keep yourself in check as well. Because I'm going to watch that if there's a collision. I'm going to watch your dash cam.
Yeah, no, and it's ever-increasing too, isn't it?
Mm, definitely.
What's some of the weird things you've been seeing out there lately?
There's lots of weird things going on.
Any weird laws?
Oh, there's always weird laws. Oh, Will. Did you know, Will?
Oh, yeah.
You might like this.
Yeah.
Might be totally inappropriate, but it is a road rule. It is a road rule. I'm not
even
making
better.
Stuff. If you can't ride a bicycle, Will, that doesn't have a seat. Did you know that's a rule?
Ouch.
I wish everyone could see the look of shock on your face right now.
I know,
now,
I'm horrified. I've got something to look forward to. I mean, you've taken that one.
You cannot ride a bicycle that does not have a seat.
Do you lose points or
fine? It doesn't affect your demerit points, no. Oh,
thank God
but
for that.
But it's a pretty substantial fine, so it's a couple $100.
Oh.
So keep that in mind. And, of course,
I'd be really worried about the injuries.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Just to clarify, I've never given the ticket out. It's not something you come across very often. But if you're thinking about doing that on your weekend in your spare time.
It's funny you mention it. No.
Mountain biking? Okay, that's enough. Yeah, so,
That actually has a reason behind it. Like, it's an odd rule, but I can understand why it's a rule.
No, here's the thing is that just think about this for a minute, okay? We don't create rules unless something's happened that requires a rule.
Where did this one come from?
This would be common sense. Oh, I should probably have a seat on my bicycle. Something's happened at some stage, I don't know when, and I'm not sure what the story is. Not sure if I want to know what the story is, where their legislators were like, you know what, we better put this in as a road rule with X amount of penalty points. Yep.
Did it come before helmets?
I'm not sure. You know what? They may have come in at the same time. Oh, yeah. Right. Who knows?
No, if not, they're very close.
Who knows? Which, of course, follows on to another weird bicycle rule, which I'm not sure if people are aware of, but it makes a little bit of sense. You might often see people riding fixie bikes, for example, being super cool with their arms crossed and no hands on the handlebars.
Yeah,
that's an offence.
Is it?
Well, what's controlling the speed, steering and braking?
A gyroscopic force?
Yeah, there you go. Inertia. Let's talk about inertia real quick. Let's not. I don't know enough about it. But yes, if you need to brake, your hands are too busy folded while you're looking pretty cool.
Oh, I would really love to see somebody being given a ticket for exactly that.
Oh,
especially
I've given
riding
tickets
down Beach
out.
Road.
Yeah,
that would
I've
be
given
really cool.
tickets out yeah. for that sort of stuff.
You
I've
have.
Also, I've been to collisions where bicycle riders doing exactly that have then ridden into the back of a parked car.
Oh.
Now, I'm not in a position to laugh about it.
But I am.
But we might. So keep your hands on the handlebars, crying out loud. It seems like a common sense kind of thing, but again, it was made into a road rule for a reason.
What about if they were not using their hands and didn't have a seat?
That would be magic.
I'm just trying to visualise
that. That
would
be magic.
Right.
That's a talent.
That would be magic.
I stumped everybody.
That would be magic.
Exactly.
Is there any weird car rules while we're on?
Oh, there's a couple of weird ones. Well, not weird so much, but perhaps ones that people have forgotten about, like centre-median parking. You're not allowed to reverse out of centre-median parking. A lot of people would not probably do that anyway because you can't see, but it's a rule for a reason. And some people that try and reverse out just reverse out under the assumption that people are going to stop. So that's probably a common one, especially in the city. We've got so much centre-median parking in the city.
It makes sense.
It does make sense, but not one that's common knowledge, I don't think.
Well, after this podcast, it will be.
Well, and you know what? That's great.
And that's why we have informative podcasts like The Glow Show, to learn about not riding a push bike without a seat.
No one in this room, apart from Beck, knew about that.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, I didn't know about any of those rules. So,
well, you know what, guys? You're welcome.
You've taken my fun away.
Welcome. No. That's right. Will's going to skateboard on the weekend now. Yeah, so there's a few little quirky road rules out there.
Any more? I want more.
Oh, okay.
We want more. We're going into overtime for this.
Oh, okay. So riding a motor scooter or a motorcycle, you have to have at least 1 foot up on the foot peg whilst riding. So you might see a few inexperienced riders getting around with both of their feet hanging down.
Ouch.
Don't know how they do it. I would find that I ride a Vespa myself. I know it's not a motorcycle. You don't have to make the point, Will. But with their feet hanging down, I would find the balance be a little bit difficult.
Ouch. I just worry about hitting your feet on the ground and what happens after that.
Right, and that is the issue. So again, we think common sense, but at some point someone's done something silly, and then the most common collision that I would go to, and I don't go to it very often, thank goodness, is that as they're riding and their foot is, you know, maybe 100 mil or less off the ground, and they go over a bump, and then their foot hits the ground and it breaks their leg. If you think it's fun to dangle your legs off the side, just remember that there's a reason there's footprints.
Everyone is cringing.
And
oddly
really
cringeworthy.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Jen, your cringe face is a little bit like your road rage
the
face.
Paint.
You know, things like that. I mean, this is why I'd make the worst police officer in the world, because I couldn't issue an infringement. Because I like the Darwin theory to actually exercise
its
potential, you know, and it's the stupidity out there of some people. Unless they're going, what their stupidity is going to do is going to hurt another person.
Yeah.
Obviously, you would do what you do best. But if they're just going to hurt themselves through sheer and utter stupidity, I could never be a police officer.
And I think that topic came up in a debate about bicycle helmets and whether that should even be a law. You know, let people ride without a helmet, the only person they're going to hurt is themselves. And I would tend to agree with that. However, someone has to pay for the healthcare and treatment when they do fall off and hurt their head. So, you know, you have to balance that up a little bit.
And you're right. And that's the beauty of debate. We had a nice debate this morning among our crew. I would say I agree with you. Mm. You know, we want to make it for kids because kids don't have the ability to make the appropriate decisions. And you need to protect children.
Of course.
But when you talk about it further, there is a cost, and that's the reason why we have helmets. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating stuff.
If we can prevent that road trauma in any sense, and that includes, unfortunately, the cost on taxpayers for our wonderful health system, and we make it a rule you've got to wear a helmet, and I can tell somebody not to ride their bike anymore without wearing a helmet, then maybe that's the reason we've got these things in place. It's all about, not just about people getting killed on the road, it's about reducing that road trauma and those serious injuries that keep people out of work, so they're not working anymore, they're in hospital, they're receiving treatment. There's unfortunately a pecuniary result or effect when people hurt themselves on the road.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to get injured, but it also costs... You know, there's a ripple effect, you know,
absolutely.
And it's not just you.
And it's other families too.
It's your family. Someone's going to have to take care of you at home. Somebody else is going to be pressure on you financially to pay the bills or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So it's the long-term things. It's all good and well to be riding your single-speed bicycle up Sydney Road with no helmet on and your arms crossed and no seat. But at some point, you're not going to be able to do that for very long and you're going to end up injured. So we just don't want people to get hurt. Nobody likes being hurt. It's true.
Well, I got some bad news. Yeah. We've got to wrap it up. Otherwise, we'll have the podcast police back knocking on my door.
Yes. But I would really like you to bring one of those interesting, crazy, weird road rules or any kind of law back next time. Every time we get you in,
just do that.
A couple.
Yeah, there's some weird ones. Yeah. And you also have to remember there's got to be a story associated with the creation of that road rule.
Don't forget to download Glow Shows.
Yeah, and rate them.
And rate them and...
Subscribe to them.
Subscribe to them.
And love them.
Tell your friends about them. I think it's most important because we're really talking about some interesting things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do change attitudes through a bit of discussion. Please tell all your mates and subscribe.
Share it around.
It's been an absolute pleasure having
Thank
you back.
Thank you, Will. Always.
And Jen and
Thanks,
Gabby.
Will. Thanks, Will.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.